Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Well, don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the Mobile Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta, Willie P is in the building once again for John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. Last night with me in the seat for the big guy, and hope you've enjoyed the time during it. We got a lot on the plate tonight, and we'll get to it all within the next full four. Breaking news out of the National Football League that the preseason has been cut in half for now. There's talk that they might actually scrub the whole thing together from a tweet that just came out from Mike Garofolo about 9 minutes ago. The NFL and the NFLPA are still going to meet. The PA has not signed off regarding the shortened preseason. There's some talk about them not even having the preseason altogether. Basically, as it sits right now, according to Pro Football Talk, who first reported it, they would cut weeks one and week four. So that means the two games against the Florida teams for the Atlanta Falcons would be basically kaput. Weeks two and three would still remain. And of course, this brings in a lot of different scenarios and themes for the start of the NFL season. People starting to get kind of worried. You have the governor of our state saying college football is kind of in jeopardy. Governor in the state of South Carolina has said the same thing. So there's not a lot of optimism when it comes to that scenario for football. But the one thing that we always do get, right around the first weekend of April and also at the end of February, we usually get optimism when pitchers and catchers report for baseball. And while there is still some pessimism that sits for a lot of people about how this is going to happen, how the protocol is going to work out, will people follow them, will players be able to police themselves, we do have baseball, at least today, with players reporting all across the major leagues, including here in Atlanta. They will have a camp of about 30 players at Truist Park in Atlanta, 30 or so also inside Gwinnett's Cool Ray Field, just up 85 from us, where we're situated here in Midtown. And because of the just pessimism in the world, I wanted to kind of bring the sport somewhat to the forefront. You heard Dukes and Bell about an hour ago play the clip from former Braves pitcher Tom Glavine. I'm going to rehash that in case you haven't heard it. But he went on a radio station inside our radio.com family in San Francisco and talked about the prospects of what this season might do as kind of a laboratory for Rob Manfred and the Baseball Brain Trust. He said, he being Tom Glavine, he would not be opposed diametrically for a permanent shortening of the baseball regular season.
I'm very much open to the discussion of shortening the season and adding to the playoffs. I know that's been talked about for a lot of years. I know the purists in the game probably hate that, but, you know, the purists in the game hated the wild card, too, and the wild card has been pretty good for baseball, and the wild card play-in game has been pretty good.
The biggest detriment to shortening the season is baseball owners would want some sort of get-back money when it comes to the postseason. And with response in that, Glavine has said he wouldn't mind adding another round of the postseason if that is necessary.
When you hear about adding another tier of playoffs, the number that everybody seems to come up with that makes the most sense is like 154 games. I'd be fine with that and add an extra round of playoffs, but I don't know that there's a number I would have in my mind that I would say, hey, this is the sweet spot.
I got a number in mind. Cut it even by more. Go back to 144. And expand the playoffs to put 8 teams in each league in the postseason and make it look very much like the NBA. You would still have automatic home bids for each of the 3 division winners. You'd even have the opportunity, if you really wanted to, if expansion ends up coming about, to create a 4th division. That way they have a 4th divisional leader. There's been talk, and Bob Nightingale came on 92.9 The Game with me a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, if expansion does take place, Major League Baseball is open to adding a Southeast division or something to that nature, either in one or both leagues, in order to try and balance things out a little bit more regionally. Because as we know, at least in the outset of the coronavirus pandemic and things of this nature, regional play is probably going to be put at a premium right now because of people's desire to not travel. And I'm not saying that's a permanent solution, but I do think that if you look at baseball, the one thing that they have going for them is that their game hits differently during the postseason when the game is on the line. And that's the one thing the wild card playoff has proven, is that if you have winner-take-all stakes on a game, it gets eyeballs. Now, I'm not suggesting that winner-take-all stakes are something I want for that first round of the postseason, but if you do a best of 5 in the first round of the postseason and then best of 7 the rest of the way, you have an opportunity to really capture something, in my mind, if you have 4 playoff series in each league to start the postseason. It'd be much easier to do because of the DH being in each league, and you'd have less of a disparity when it comes to the rosters, especially when the American League and National League get together. I also think that it would really change things a whole bunch when it comes to the competitive balance of the league. I think you'd have more teams going for it. You'd have less teams tanking, and most importantly, more meaningful games. The one thing that people have said over the course of the last couple of weeks and months when you talk about the 60-game schedule is that they like the compressed nature because it increases the importance on each game. It increases everything. Every game feels like a series, and the baseball season is just too long. I'm sorry. By the time I get to July, beginning of August, I'm already in football mode. If baseball started its postseason in September, they'd have a chance to own that month. I know they'd be going head-to-head with football, but you'd have an opportunity to have more important games. Your season gets lost when the football season starts, and then all of a sudden you get to October, and it's like, oh my God, yeah, the baseball playoffs are going. Yeah, but we're also in week 6 or 7 of the NFL. We're in, you know, week 7 or 8 of college football. We're deep into conference games. And oh, by the way, the NBA is also around the corner. So I just feel like so much of baseball's best product gets lost among so much of the other stuff that happens in the world of sports. And the other thing that Rob Manfred said, he said this on LA Radio, he said, we weren't at any point in time going to play more than 60 games. Read, we weren't going to pay for more than 60 games of play over the course of this season without fans, which is basically telling me that the owners don't believe they make money on the regular season. I said this before, I can't remember if it was on this show or when I was filling in elsewhere on the network, but I do think that it's kind of a load of garbage when they say they don't make money on the season. But if that's the case, then prove it, number one. And number two, then just expand the postseason. If that's where the money is, and that's where the eyeballs are, expand the postseason. And as I've said before, that money, all that money that the baseball teams make, those checks get cashed basically on April the 1st. When the season ticket prices and season ticket bills are due for teams, that usually is when most of the money for baseball comes in. They'll get that money, they'll get the TV money, but as far as a walk-up crowd for a baseball game, like the days of doing that are over. The days of people, you know, I used to, you know, when I lived in the Midwest, you know, and I wanted to go to a ball game, you know, we would drive 2 hours either west or east, either Kansas City or St. Louis, and we'd walk right up and buy a ticket because it was always so easy to do so. Now in the times that we live in, you know, I click on my phone, I go on StubHub or SeatGeek, I get a ticket, and that money, while the teams do get a cut, they don't get the full cut. And because of that, I think that they really don't feel like they're making a lot of money outside of what they get from the concessions and the merch that people purchase when they go to games. So if you really think that your model is so broken and so paltry, then fix it. And this comment about the baseball purist, look, people have been doing things to throw the middle finger at the baseball purist for the last 100 years. The DH was one of them. The wild card was another. There are also ideas that didn't work, like making the All-Star game good for a home field advantage in the World Series. And yes, that was a comically stupid idea, but guess what it did? It did provide. It provided eyeballs on that game. It made that game mean something. There was somebody who I was talking to earlier today who said, hey, maybe we should do something kind of similar to what the NBA has been proposing and do that mid-season tournament idea, just to get some eyeballs in an area of time where you have nothing else going on. Baseball is on the deathbed. It needs a defibrillator. Figure it out. I grew up loving this game, but I can tell you right now, when I get to the end of July and games are starting, I got MLS that's going to take up my time. I got a condensed NBA regular season and playoffs that's going to take up my time. I'm one of the few people who lives in the state of Georgia that actually likes and respects hockey, so I will watch some of that. When it comes down to watching the Braves, I will have it on, but I'll tell you right now, it's on screen 4. And I know there's a lot of people who really love baseball, and baseball is their ride or die. I told you earlier in the week, one of my first pictures that I have of me as an infant was in a baseball uniform, a baseball onesie. But here's the problem. They have to stop thinking like it's 1980. It's 2020. It's 40 years later. Most of the people who have grown up with your product have turned away. Look at the research. Look at the numbers. Figure out how to fix your game. This is your opportunity to see what works. And if this works, you might find yourself in a better situation, and you also might not find yourself arguing and whining with the players over finances every 5 to 10 years. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as always on Radio.com app. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open for you to react at 404-741-0929. Post a comment, I'll read it, even the bad ones, at Willie P Style on Twitter. That's IEP Style. The radio station is at 92.9 The Game. The NFL offseason has had some very landmark changes made to it. No mini camps, no OTAs. The latest thing that got cut is a big one. We'll tell you about it next. Willie P. in for John Chuckery, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and always available on the radio.com app via smart speakers and smartphones. The John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, radio.com. I don't know what it is about this particular seat, this particular time slot, but the time slot drives a lot of snarkiness. And I was having a conversation with CCV, who board ops the Dukes and Bell show on his way out the door, and we were talking. I have no idea how we got on the subject of Robert Horry. We were talking about, you know, guys who just, you know, you couldn't stand, and I don't. It wasn't that I couldn't stand Robert Horry for anything he did. It's just he's, you know, he was a stone cold killer, and he was always that guy who just kind of put the knife in your throat at the end of games and got a lot of rings. And the thing that I said, I compared him to kind of the way, you know, a touchdown vulture in fantasy football. And of course, the guy who comes to mind with touchdown vultures is our own Atlanta Falcon T.J. Duckett from back in the day. You know, how he used to plow it in from 2 yards out after, you know, Mike Vick and Warwick Dunn used to do all the dirty work between the 20s. And T.J. would come in for three plays and have, like, two touchdowns a game. And you used to have to carry them both on the roster in order to you have to, I believe, what's the phrase? You had to handcuff them together in fantasy. But, yeah, Robert Horry is like having a touchdown vulture in the Hall of Fame. And not that I don't think he's not deserving, because he's clutch. I have this argument all the time with people that, you know, there's no such thing as the clutch gene. I used to have this argument with a buddy of mine who's a big baseball nerd. And he's like, there's no such thing as the clutch gene. Numbers drive everything, and analytics drive everything, and war and VORP and all this stuff. And I'm like, there is something to being, you know, reliable when the lights are brightest. Like, that's actually a thing. Psychologically, that's definitely a thing. I was talking about my plan for realigning baseball, 144 games, 8 teams a league in a postseason. NJATL14 tweets me at Willie P Style. He says, I never cared for 162. I think 81 would work better. I said, you know, that's not really something that's going to fit the plans when it comes to Major League Baseball. They would never go for that that type of reduction. Also, he ends up going on to say, 81 games is a lot easier to keep up with. 162, especially with the American League, it's annoying after a while. Most of the AL teams tend to blow out the division competition fairly quick over the course of the past couple of years. Yeah, the amount of lopsided competition in the American League over the last couple of years has been disconcerting. It is cyclical. I mean, you know, just a couple of years ago, you know, the Kansas City Royals were a world championship team, and you know, the Oakland A's have always had their Moneyball era type stuff. They always seem to find a way to get themselves in after a couple of years where they might end up losing 100 games. Texter from the 404 says, what about getting rid of MLB sales on secondary markets? Make your customers come to you. Simple can be smarter in difficult times. Look, I've always maintained, and again, I know that they get a lump sum from the companies like StubHub and SeatGeek, and I want to say they also get a commission too, but I can't 100% say that for a fact. But I've always said, you know, if any one of these leagues really wanted to do something that was smart business sense, it would be to take over the secondary market sales of all tickets. Like, I don't understand, and I know that a lot of these other, all these other entities kind of took that over. There are some teams that are kind of doing that on an individual basis. I know when I lived in Houston, you know, the Rockets had a very savvy app that prioritized and had very little overhead when it came to the commission sales that went to other people that went to, and it was basically done by the season ticket holders, and it led to there not being a lot of tickets available on the secondary market. You could only go through their team-sponsored app, and it was through a private company that wasn't SeatGeek or StubHub. But again, I it would take somebody a lot smarter and a lot nerdier to make that happen, but like I said, you know, if they really wanted to be savvy and shrewd, they would take over all secondary market sales. I know that they do some of that through Ticketmaster, some of these teams do, but I don't think it benefits them in any way other than the little lump sum they get in the beginning of the year. Jahi Whitehead is in for Jarvis Davis today. He is inside our Midtown Atlanta studios. Jarvis and John both enjoying their pre-4th of July vacation. Time to tell you what's happening.
Peter,
what's
happening?
Adam Silver has spoken, the commissioner of the NBA, talking about the uncomfortable time we sit in currently with coronavirus and the COVID-19 pandemic as the league gets ready to go into the bubble. He is of the belief that this is something we have to live with.
It is a model for other industries and a model for broader society that you just got to fight through these things. And I think that's also what our players are about. You know, they really do have that sense, like, this is what we do. We play basketball. And, you know, can we find a new normal? Can we find a way to crown a champion? And that's really what we're focused on right now.
That's big talk. But again, I've learned very few things that have stuck with me through the test of time. One of those is that you don't fight science. And I know that I'm starting to feel nervous about things getting back and going when it comes to these sports leagues. And the biggest question that I haven't had answered, Adrian Wojnarowski is trying to answer it in our next clip, what would constitute a shutdown? I haven't gotten a good answer yet. Woj gives his chance to try and give you that answer.
30 days is a long time with this virus, and it's one thing to start on July 30th. October 12th, 13th, Game 7 of the NBA Finals, that's a long way away. That's a lot of tests between now and then that guys are going to have to take and pass in that bubble.
It's, again, I told the story earlier. 2 weeks ago, I was with my girlfriend, and we actually went to a restaurant, sat down, and had brunch in a section that had nobody, and we were not nervous. I sit here 2-3 weeks later, we don't even want to go down the street to get food. Like, that's a real thing. And because of that, it just, I know it's incumbent on everybody to do the right things, wear masks, and I'm doing that. But at the same time, it's like, you can't watch everybody 24/7. And that's kind of the biggest unanswered question right now. Chip Carey was actually on with the Midday Show, Andy and Randy, and said he agrees with Adam Silver. He says that this is something that you kind of have to grit and bear it, and despite the fact that it might be stomach-turning, it's necessary to proceed with operations as earlier stated.
I personally agree with Adam Silver. The NBA said, we're going to have to learn how to live with this virus. It's not going away, and with the protocols that are being put in place by all the major sports leagues, it seems to me from an outsider's perspective, and look, I'm not subject to them, at least to my knowledge yet, but it seems to me that the guys that are going to be playing and going to be on the field and in the ballparks and in the locker rooms are going to be taken care of medically as well as they can possibly be, knowing what we know.
It should be noted, too, that the one thing that has me somewhat scared is that they're not in one area. And again, I know that it's a very, very hard thing to do to players with families and things of that nature during the pandemic. And, you know, if they wanted to create a bubble, I'm sure they probably would have had the ability to do that. But that's one of the things that I think that the Players Association, they wanted to try and have their individual freedoms. And again, it's going to take veterans. It's going to take guys who say, hey, you know what? This is our livelihood, your livelihood. Be sure to do the right thing and don't, you know, stray from anything that goes beyond your normal routine. Of course, the Braves reported today, as did all the other teams in Major League Baseball. We've talked about it a lot on the air. Spent 30 minutes of time on it on the Batter Up podcast, which you can see on radio.com or wherever you get your podcast, with myself, our Braves insider Joe Patrick, as well as Caleb Johnson. Dave O'Brien was on Dukes and Bell early today. He answered, what is the biggest challenge for the Atlanta Braves? He said that the starting rotation was, I would say, the biggest thing because of the fact that you just don't know if you're going to get through a season with the rotation being what it is. And I think that the biggest challenge is getting through that first two or three turns through that rotation because of the fact that you have so many variables when it comes to, you know, arm injuries, how a guy can survive through three or four innings of work, a couple times through that rotation. There's obviously, when you think about a time period and a time frame that you're going to go through here, you have the first 2 weeks with 30 men on that roster. The next 2 weeks have 28, and then 26 rest of the way. So be sure that the teams in Major League Baseball are going to load up with pitchers. You might see two starters kind of piggyback each other in the first two times through the rotation just so they can get stretched out. I don't think anybody feels like they're at the point where they can go 6-7 innings at this point. I think you're going to see more 3-4 inning starts. You might see a guy like Mike Soroka backed up by someone like Sean Newcomb. You could see some sort of situation where you have Cole Hamels backed up by Tuki Toussaint. You could have a Felix Hernandez situation where he's backed up by Bryce Wilson or Kyle Wright. There's a lot of different scenarios that can be siphoned together to try and at least help you make nine innings work. The one thing also I'm very curious to see is the bullpen roles. Will they be defined or will they be more by committee and fluid? Because the one thing that Brian Snitker has always had, he's had a long leash and had his favorites on certain guys. And the question was asked earlier today by somebody that will Brian Snitker manage differently? And I think there's going to be a lot of input from Alex Anthopoulos. He's given him a lot of rope. Double A has. Double A has given Snitker a lot of rope over his time as president and CEO. And I think Brian Snitker's earned a lot of that rope. But if you want to talk about a big bugaboo with this fan base, and you guys are very vocal about it, anytime anything's posted about Brian Snitker, the anti-Snitker guys come out. And I understand why the sentiment is there. Because you always remember the bad moments. You always remember the bad decisions. Those always hurt more than the good ones and the shrewd and smart ones feel good. So because of that, I think that AA is going to have a lot more authority when it comes to lineup decisions, pitching moves, not to the point where he's like some NL East players who call in decisions from their home. He's not going to be like that, but I do think that there's going to be some input. Started the show by telling you that the Major League Baseball, the National Football League, has cut the preseason in half, reportedly, according to a report from Pro Football Talk, source telling Mike Florio that weeks 1 and 4 are going to be scrapped at least. But Mike Garofolo has not only doubled down on that report from the NFL media scrum, he said that there's possible talk that you could scrub the whole preseason altogether. The NFL and the Players Association are going to meet Thursday via conference call and try and sort this out. I've never been a big fan of the preseason as a whole. I know it's necessary. I've thought that there's probably ways you can better package it so that season ticket holders don't have to hold the bag for it, so to speak, and get charged that. I'm very in tune with the fan experience. Like, I try to be the voice of the fan and try to be sympathetic to anything that affects you as a consumer, because at the end of the day, I know it's a business, so I see the standpoint of the business, but I also know that fans in certain sports get screwed. I think baseball fans get screwed to a certain extent. I think NFL fans get royally jobbed when it comes to the preseason. The fact that you have to pay for those games, you have to pay full freight for those games. Mike Bell talks about this all the time, as well as Carl does. The full freight for the preseason is not something that I think is a fair deal. Also, Atlanta United made a signing today. Jürgen Damm, a wing guy. He's at one point considered the fastest guy in all of soccer. And as aptly timed as it is, we will talk about it with our next guest, Felipe Cardenas, who covers Atlanta United for The Athletic. Will join me, Willie P, next. It is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. Willie P is in a building in for John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. We are your home for Atlanta United when the MLS's back tournament gets underway here, middle part of next week. Five Stripes will not get underway until the weekend. They'll be on Saturday right here on 92.9 The Game. 8 o'clock is the kickoff time when Atlanta takes on the New York Red Bulls. FC Cincinnati the following Thursday, the 16th. That is a 9 a.m. wake-up call for you if you want to listen to Atlanta United Soccer against FC Cincinnati, team we beat already during the regular season. And then they conclude Group E action by taking on the Columbus Crew on Tuesday, July 21st. Man who covers the Five Stripes for The Athletic is Felipe Cardenas. He joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Felipe, Willie P, how are things?
Hello, man. How are you? Doing well so far?
We're good here. The biggest letdown in the world is that the newest acquisition's name is not pronounced the way it's spelled. It is Jürgen Damm. That's the way that he pronounces that name. But what can you tell me about the latest member of the Five Stripes?
Well, he's 27, so still at a good age to really contribute here in MLS, and especially on a team like Atlanta United. But, you know, he does have an interesting story. At one point in his career when he was younger, you know, he was a really, you know, highly touted talent in Mexico with a lot of promise, really high ceiling, you know, made his way into the Mexican national team and played some pivotal games. He's found it difficult lately at Tigres, which is a big club in Mexico, and a team that, within the Mexican league, is pretty stacked with some talented players, creative players, attacking players, and he's found it difficult to get on the field. So, you know, this is his free transfer. I mean, it's a good move for Atlanta United because they're not paying a lot of money. They're paying $50,000 to the Houston Dynamo for his discovery rights, but really it's a free transfer, so they're getting a player for nothing that can potentially add some speed to the wings on Atlanta for Atlanta United. If he can kind of fix the final ball, which is what he has been knocked for, you know, he's got speed, he can get by guys, but when he gets to the end line or when he needs to make that cross or that dangerous pass, the decision making isn't always there. So it'll be interesting to see how he adapts to this league. There are similarities to Mexico, but I would say I think the consensus in MLS around MLS is that the league here is a little bit more physical. But listen, I think we're going to have to wait and see because there are two tales here. It's the Jürgen Damm from a few years ago that a lot of people were very high on, that he had, you know, even European suitors tracking him, and now he's come to MLS to kind of restart his career.
Felipe, does the signing of Dom prevent or curtail all that smoke that was around the Paraguayan attack guy, Eric Lopez?
I don't think so. You know, I mean, I can't confirm every single report that's come out of Paraguay, and some of those reports are coming from very legitimate sources and reporters and journalists that are very well connected in South America. So, I mean, from my side, from what I've been able to glean from my sources, is, you know, I can confidently say that I would not be surprised if that move is not done very soon. There might be some roster moves that Atlanta United needs to make in order to fit him into an international spot, but I do believe they have spots open for that. So, again, that's also, you know, I think it's not too early to talk about that and the type of player that Eric Lopez at 18, you know, what type of signing that is for Atlanta United, a much different signing than a Jürgen Damm at 27. You know, at 18, this is a player that clearly Atlanta United is looking to develop, put on display for European suitors, and potentially sell him for big money down the road. So can he play? Yeah, he's a good player. He doesn't have a lot of experience yet. But, you know, to start and to, I think he scored 4 goals in 9 games before everything shut down in March, playing at a big club in South America and Paraguay at Olympia with an important history on that continent and scoring for, you know, in a very physical league, much like MLS. So, creative player, dynamic, likes the 1v1s, likes to go at people, can be versatile for an Atlanta United team that, like I tweeted today, I think the way Atlanta United wants to play, I truly believe that they want to be a team that is fast. And I think that sounds really simple, and you could probably argue, yeah, well, they were fast in 2017. Look at Miggy. But in 2017, even 2018, they didn't have speed all around the field. They knew who was fast. They knew who they could release and break lines with. They had a couple. And I think moving forward under Frank de Boer and what Carlos Bocanegra probably wants to do is add team speed all over the field and be a team that can really push forward. And if they get caught out of position, they can transition defensively quickly, like a lot of the top clubs in Europe are starting to play.
I didn't think, as we're talking with Felipe Cardenas, who covers Atlanta United here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, I didn't think that the absence of Leandro Gonzalez-Pires would allow me to be bullish on the Atlanta United back third. How surprised are you that he's back in the league after less than a year? He's now at Inter Miami. He won't play in Orlando, but a very short time in Liga MX for him.
I mean, it is surprising, and I was able to speak with him from Miami for a story for The Athletic that posted today, and, you know, we got into that, and he wasn't expecting to come back anytime soon. He was really honest about that. Even before, in January, when I spoke to him, you know, he saw the move to Mexico, Leandro, as one where he was going to have a little bit more exposure to perhaps moving abroad once again. He has experience in Europe. He played in Belgium briefly before coming to MLS. So I think he was really excited about that move to Mexico and to be able to play in a league that, you know, I think there are just as many European eyes on MLS as there are Liga MX today in 2020. But listen, the pandemic changed everything for everybody. It has changed the way the sport and just life in general will be moving forward. Club Tijuana had to make some moves. He is a high-priced player, so I'm sure they were looking to move him for good money in order to rebuild their squad, perhaps with younger players. And so, listen, you know, that's what's interesting about MLS. There are these different mechanisms that work that allow teams to build their rosters, especially expansion teams. So you have this allocation list where players that were previously sold abroad from MLS, at one point they're put on this list and teams can go after those players. Now, listen, if you go to the allocation list right now, Miguel Almiron is on that list. I mean, he's not coming back to Major League Soccer probably ever. And if you're going to want to bring him back, you're going to have to pay probably $50 million or more. But there are players on that list where you can make deals for. And Inter Miami and Paul McDonough, who knows Leandro so well because he essentially helped bring him here to Atlanta, he saw an opportunity and he took it. And they, you know, like I said in the piece, like they have significantly upgraded their back line. Now, in terms of Atlanta United, like you said, I agree. Like, you know, Atlanta United still has a very strong back three, potentially even a back four. But, you know, Leandro Gonzalez Perez is still considered one of the top defenders in MLS within the last 3 years. He was a best 11 defender, an all-star in 2019, a unique type of defender that really changed the way that defenders were viewed in this league. He was a big part of the way Atlanta United played under Tata Martino. So now it's a little bit different with Fernando Mesa and Miles Robinson, two defenders that can play with the ball. I think Leandro is probably a little bit better technically, but we don't know a lot yet about Fernando Mesa. I did have an opportunity to speak with him for a feature that I will write before the tournament. You know, I like him a lot. I think he's a soccer nerd, a junkie, one of those guys that's really into tactics, and he's proven that he can play too. Sitting alongside Miles Robinson, I think it's a different type of pairing, though. Miles, I think he really did grow playing alongside Michael Parkhurst and Leandro, so there's a bit more expected from Miles Robinson, and clearly for Fernando Mesa, stepping into this role that Leandro had here in Atlanta, big shoes for him as well.
Felipe Cardenas of The Athletic, who covers Atlanta United, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If I take out the answers involving the coronavirus or not having Joseph Martinez, what sits as your biggest concern for Atlanta United as they head to Orlando?
You know, I think it's consistency. I mean, you said it, Will. It's like it's difficult to ignore the absence of a player like Joseph Martinez, one of the best players that this league has ever seen. One of the most ruthless and premier goal scorers in MLS history, you can't replace that. And so that'll be difficult to do. I think, you know, when they didn't have him before the pandemic shut everything down, they were going to try different things. I think we saw that last season when he was injured. He missed out on a couple games in U.S. Open Cup. PT Martinez and Ezequiel Barco were kind of expected to play an attacking role. There's a lot of talk of the false nine, and can Frank De Boer slowly, you know, implement that into his tactics? But you know, I think I'll go back to consistency, because I think what you saw from Atlanta United at the beginning of the season was a team that was feeling pretty confident before they went to Mexico. But in you know, the CONCACAF first rounds against Motagua, they were able to kind of just gut it out, you know, away in Honduras, get a good result there, and then they came here and they looked really good. PT looked like he was on fire. He was very open, to us reporters, saying this is the PT that everyone wants to see. You know, Ezequiel Barco, big year for him because we're all expecting him to be transferred at some point this summer. And so there were a lot of expectations. But then you go to Mexico and you just get owned. They were worked in that first half by a very good Club America team. I think Frank De Boer said it himself when he spoke to us after that game, that he essentially admitted, you know, we were too, I'm paraphrasing, but they were too conservative. He set up the team to absorb a little bit too much pressure against a team that is going to go after you. And in Mexico, people know that when you play Club America, you've got to go up against them. You've got to give them what they give you and force them to adjust. Atlanta United was not able to do that. So I think that's the lasting image that we have of Atlanta United. From then until now, what types of mistakes, where can they correct those mistakes? Set pieces, they were kind of victimized on set pieces. And like you mentioned, they're going to have to solve the goal scoring, you know, that was vacant from not having Joseph Martinez. So the big question mark, not to just repeat what you said, but it is Joseph. It's replacing who's going to score the goals. You know, PT and Barco can score, but they're not just out-and-out goal scorers. So it's going to be interesting to see how they set up against a very, you know, aggressive Red Bull team. I don't expect Frank to make the same type of, I guess, tactical mistakes in the first half against that game, but this is a very strange tournament. Every team is kind of going in on equal playing field. There's a lot on the line depending on what kind of club you are. For Atlanta United, I think they are expected and will always be expected to win these types of tournaments.
I got about a minute as far as the... not that I'm necessarily looking forward to that return leg against Club America, but is that tournament basically kind of in limbo right now?
Yeah, I would definitely say it's in limbo. I think, you know, I would expect CONCACAF to really want to get that tournament going again. You know, I would be shocked if it was just canceled. You know, I don't see that happening, but at the same time, it's difficult to plan a continental tournament within a pandemic. And how do we do that considering travel, international travel? So it's tough to say, you know, it really is. But yeah, to your point, you know, I think Atlanta United, even with this time to prepare, they would still have some of the same holes that they had going up, you know, to Estadio Azteca. Clearly a player like Miles Robinson would be healthy. I think overall they would feel like they're a little bit more healthy and more confident. But they would still have the big hole to fill in Joseph Martinez, and Club America didn't get any worse from March until today. So, you know, that's still a matchup where they're down, you know, 3 goals. It's tough to come back from that. I wouldn't expect Atlanta United to be able to do that in these circumstances. You know, it's tough to say, even for really good teams, how do they manage a crisis? So, to your point, I think it is in limbo. We're going to have to wait and see how everything plays out from now until probably September, when things perhaps a little bit, there's a little bit more clarity around international tournaments.
Felipe Cardenas, covering Atlanta United. Thanks so much for the time.
All right, man. Anytime.
That's Felipe joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. A lot of good stuff, a lot to unpack. We'll do that a little bit later on the program. We'll talk some NFL football next. Will you sign a waiver to go to an NFL game? And 2 divergent opinions on one of the biggest stories that's hit the NFL over the course of the last week. We'll talk that next in part of an NFL Ground and Pound. It's the John Chuckery Show. Willie P. in for John. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.